Charlie Weiss joins us right now on the Harbor One Hotline. Hey, Charlie, how are you?
Good morning.
Say hi to Wiggy.
What's up, Charlie?
What's going on, Wig?
How you doing, man?
Have you stopped talking yet? Are you still talking?
I'm still talking. You know me. I ain't changed.
He's still talking.
Yes. I'm still the same day one.
Hey, you gotta answer me a question. Who did they just play a clip on about Tommy being in a system? And who was that was just on?
That was Cam Newton yesterday on this program.
I mean, so Tommy was just a system quarterback? Is that what we're saying?
I think so.
I must have missed something. You know, maybe I'm oblivious. I mean, how's he doing this year in a new system?
Pretty good.
He's doing pretty good.
He's doing pretty
I think what Cam was saying, Charlie.
Here comes Wiggy to defend
no,
Cam.
No. Yeah. I think what he was saying that was the system was difficult, and he only had a few months to learn it where, you know, Tom obviously, with no disrespect, was in it for his whole career up until obviously this season.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a valid point. But all I'm saying from afar, when I hear that, I'm hearing that, well, Tommy was just a system quarterback. And if I had a dollar for every time somebody said that to me, you know, it would be ridiculous.
You'd be making Belichick money, which is apparently $20 million.
apparently, no one's making that money. So,
is that an excuse from Cam Newton? Or how hard?
From the way Wiggy said, if Wiggy's analysis is correct, it's a valid point that when you're coming into a system the first year in, okay, there's obviously a transition that takes place. Now, I think that let's go glass half full. Let's say that Cam's there next year. Let's say they sign him to a multiple year contract, and they determine he's going to be their guy for the next however many years. Well, I'm sure now with a year of information in, you know, of what exactly he can and cannot do, they would continue to build around what he can and cannot do. I mean, when you come into any player comes into your system, you have to figure out what they can do and then do that. You know, so New England's no different than anywhere else. You know, Cam comes in, you have a system. From within that playbook, there's plenty of stuff that he can do. So you just do more of that, and then you add some wrinkles that are tailor-made to that. You have a Wiggy sitting right there. I mean, there were certain things that he was really good at. There were other things he wasn't really good at.
Like running?
So what? Well, I mean... Yeah,
catching the ball.
Well, what he could do. Let's talk about what he could do. He could get open in a short area space and could catch anything thrown near him. So what did you do? You kept him the short to intermediate routes. Let him use his niftiness, which he actually did have. Okay, and he had great hands. So I mean, so you play to his strengths. Now, don't ask him to block anyone, because the next guy he blocks will be the first guy he ever blocks. Okay, but you play to their strengths.
Very true. So, for you, for example, right? And how difficult is it, or how do you change a system? And you had Testaverde and Ray Lucas, Lucas and with the Jets. So, how do you change a guy who's more of a pocket passer, where Brady is, and then you transition to a player like Cam Newton, is a little bit more mobile? So, if you're Josh McDaniels, how do you try to transition the system without changing it?
Well, you know the playbook, right?
Yep.
Wiggy?
Mm-hmm.
How big a volume is the playbook?
It's pretty good size.
It's really big, right? But how much of it was really used on a game day?
Not much.
Not much of it. See, that's what people don't understand. People don't understand just because you have this huge playbook for a game plan – It's only a small volume, a very small portion. So with a guy like this, you figure out, okay, what does he do the best? And let's do a lot more of that. And I think that, you know, this was a little bit of a feeling out period. And for, on both sides, you know, both with the coaching staff, you know, and with Cam being the quarterback of the team. Now, I could see if you made me make an argument, I could give you an argument why I think he should be there, and I could give you an argument why I don't think he should be there. But that's not the point. Whatever they decide to do, if Cam's the guy, I think that you'll see a much, much improved version of it the next year he's there, which is what I think what Cam was indicating.
So a considerable portion of his struggles or the struggles of the offense can be based on the fact that it's that difficult to learn that system and that he needs more time.
No, I disagree with that.
Okay.
Because I think that they were trying to do what he was capable of doing. I think that, you know, I'm going to look at it, say, objectively, I think you need more players around him.
Yeah.
That you know, you tell me. Mm-hmm. I mean, what quarterback that has skill, which he does, okay, doesn't thrive with better players around him? You didn't have Wiggins. You didn't have a pass catching tight end,
right.
And he wasn't even our first guy. I mean, you didn't have a pass catching tight end.
We just lost him.
Oh, he just dropped.
He dropped?
Son of a gun.
There's too many Wiggy mentions.
I think Charlie's back. Charlie, you back?
So then why did you run those out routes at 6 then?
Well, because speed level, right? I had to cut it down. It wasn't as fast.
No, okay. I was just saying that Fourier is talking an awful lot about the fact that Cam Newton is just, you know, great guy, great interview, but just not a great quarterback. And I'm wondering if, you know, if it's more like Wiggy is saying, it's more of he needs time to learn that system.
Well, the thing is, I'm not in that building, so I can't give you the answer to the question, because I don't know if what you see is what you get. You know, in other words, there's some players that's what they are. I mean, they're done. I mean, and then there's other players where, okay, we're figuring them out. We can do this, that, and the other thing. I mean, if you recall all the way back, okay, to when Tommy first started playing, I was devising very, very conservative game plans and playing to the strength of our team, which was our defense. So, you know, we knew in every game what we needed to, how many we needed to score to win that game. And that's what we did. And everyone says, well, he can't throw the ball down the field. You know, all he can do is throw it 5-10 yards. Well, how's that worked out? I mean, obviously that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
But as we grew together, you know, by the end of the year, you know, we're running 2-minute in the Super Bowl, you know, slinging it all over, slinging it down the field to go win a championship. So I don't know what exactly they have there. I know for most of the year, it hasn't looked very good. Okay, but is it not looking very good because he's no good? Or is it he's got limited players playing around him? Okay, and because you guys watch every game and analyze it every single day, you'd have a pretty good feel for what you think it is. But to be perfectly honest with you, if he's back there next year, it's going to be better than it was this year, regardless of what anyone else thinks, because it's going to be a year that's already under your belt where all that knowledge was gained back and forth about strengths and weaknesses of the player and what he can do within that system.
Charlie, Wiggy and I have been debating this morning. It is my contention that the system you used with Drew Bledsoe in 2000 was different than the system that Tom Brady evolved with you. Is that true or false?
Not in the beginning. It was just a small part of the package that we already had in. It was the system was the same.
And then,
you know,
sorry.
And then what
sorry,
happens?
Curtis.
And what happens as you evolve? As you evolve, you put wrinkles into it, just like Josh has done with the system. I mean, Josh has run that system forever. There's things in there that we didn't do when I was there, but a lot of it, I'm telling you, and Wig will tell you right now, how many times are you watching games where you could call about three quarters of the plays, Wig?
Right, yeah. I mean, it's and that's my point was, is Tom just was so good when it came to learning and evolving in this system, where some quarterbacks, and we've never seen this before, where there's never been another quarterback that really had to just learn the system in, you know, 6, 7, 8 months with no real offseason because of COVID and training camp and not being able to practice. And I think that's why a lot of, and also the personnel, I think that's why you see some of Cam's struggles. Where with Tom, it was the same system, but he was such a smart player, he could evolve and grow with that system.
Okay, now my question to you, and this is what every Patriot fan wants to know. Okay, do you want to grow with a 30-something-year-old quarterback, or do you want to grow with a 22-year-old quarterback?
Yeah, I want them to draft the kid with their 15th overall pick. That's what I want him to do. Get a young player in here.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're looking about growing, mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about growing with a veteran quarterback, and normally the growing doesn't take place with the veteran quarterback. Usually with a veteran quarterback, you're bringing him in to plug and play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas when you grow, that's usually with a young guy, you know, a la Tommy, or some much higher draft choice than Tommy, that you put in there and say, okay, let's figure out what we can do with it. You know, that's Joe at Burrow. That's Herbert. That's Tua. You know, that's this year's class. But that's what we're talking about.
Charlie, you might have had the soundbite, the interview of the year, when Belichick joined your radio show back in November talking about the salary cap and some of the things that limited his roster this year. And Bill said some similar stuff yesterday about a residual to being aggressive from the years 2014 to 2019. What do you think he meant by that?
Well, here's what he meant by that. If you have to bite the bullet for a year to play for three championships, everyone in the NFL would sign up for that right now. Every single team would sign up for that. So, I mean, this year was a tough year. I mean, we all know it was a tough year. It's a tough year. They're not playing. They're not playing in the playoffs. Okay, but I'm sure you ask any coach in the league, hey, if you're going to have your sixth year, you're going to have a bad year, but you're going to play for a championship three times in the 5 years before that. Do you think there's anyone that would say no to that?
But isn't that excuse making from Bill?
No, that's a fact. You can look at it as an excuse, but it's a fact. All these do it. You look at Bill's not a big excuse maker. Bill just says what the facts are. And you could take it and run with it any way you want to. So if you want to look at it, well, he's making an excuse, that's okay. You can do that. You know, you could go ahead and do that. But the bottom line is, that's not his MO. You know, that's really, really what he's not what he's trying to do.
Well, Charlie, it's great that, yeah, what, Wiggy?
No, I just wanted to ask him before he went. You know, Bill's in a position right now. If you were in his position, you know, a lot of people are talking about what he potentially could do. If you're him and you're the coach of this team and, you know, the head of this organization, do you draft the guy at 15, a quarterback, and maybe try to keep, whether it's you keep a Cam Newton, like a veteran, as somebody who's a placeholder, or do you go down the route of maybe trading for a Jimmy Garoppolo or somebody along those lines? If you were him in this situation, you had the 15th overall pick.
It depends on when I picked 15th overall, if there was a guy that I thought was good enough to be the guy. Now, you know, so give me a guy. Let's just say Mac Jones from Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Because people aren't talking about Mac Jones from Alabama very much, right? all he was the best quarterback in college football this year. That's all he was. Now, Trevor Lawrence might be the best player, but, I mean, who was the best quarterback in college football this year? It was Mac Jones. You look at Mac Jones and look at Tommy Brady and tell me what you see.
Hmm.
So I'm just using that as an example. Let's say that's the guy that you think could be the guy. If you think there's somebody there that could be the guy, and you haven't gone and invested into a bunch of money into a pro free agent at this time, I would jump all over somebody if I thought that there was somebody there that could be the guy. But, you know, all of a sudden there's, let's say, Waddle, the injured wide receiver from Alabama, is sitting there with the 15th pick that fell from the top 10 to 15 only because he was hurt this year.
Mm-hmm.
That is a definite, clear number one receiver. Would you want a number one receiver on your team?
Yeah, I mean, I would, especially the Alabama one, because those guys have all been good.
Yeah, all I'm saying is I'm giving you two guys off the same team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you the quarterback and the wide receiver. Now, which one you want the which one you want the most with that 15th pick?
I want the quarterback.
Okay, well, I'm just saying that might be the answer.
Right.
As long as you think he's the answer, you can't take a guy that's a maybe mm-hmm. in the first round.
Curtis.
You know, if you take a guy in the first round, it can't be a maybe. It's got to be a yes. That's what my problem was with when Green Bay made that choice last year at the quarterback position. I thought that they were taking a maybe.
Right. Charlie, you're probably the perfect person to ask this question because you're close with both. How many more years do you get the feeling that Bill and then Tom are going to keep playing and coaching?
Well, you remember, Bill's got two sons sitting in that building right there. I see no evidence that he's even thinking about walking away. I see no evidence of it. You know, so... You know, I think that he'll outlast Tommy because, you know, coaching is different than playing. As far as Tommy goes, Tommy looks to me like he's having a lot of fun down there. You know, my only question would be, what if they won it all this year? What if they won it all? I mean, would that be the time to do it? Maybe. But, you know, if they didn't win it all, I don't think he looks like he's ready to be done. Look at what he's done this year. I mean, 43 touchdown passes at 43 years old? Are you kidding me?
Right.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's
incredible.
All right, Charlie, thank you for joining us this morning from the wide open state of Florida.
Yeah, it's 82 and sunny right now, so...
Well, enjoy it, and we will talk to you soon, all right?
All right. Take care.
Thank you. There you have Charlie White.
Good stuff.